Welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm Greg Williams, your host, and I'm excited for another Family Foundation Friday with our good friend David Walls, Executive Director of the Family Foundation. David, thanks again.
Greg, good to be with you as always.
Yeah, it's been good, and I like the feedback we've been getting and people are viewing and listening, so we appreciate you as listeners. Hope it's been a good help to you. That's our prayer and our desire. Remember, you can get more from the Family Foundation at kentuckyfamily.org. Right. And loveandlordship.com, loveandlordship.com. Put those all together and spell it out, and you'll have that. David, last week we had finished up the session, and we got on to some of the things that are happening now post-session and are going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest thing was the district court ruling in Texas on the mifepristone, the abortifacient drug. Some interesting happenings. Fill us in and catch us up.
A lot happened since you and I talked this last Friday, but the case actually went to the Fifth Circuit, and I think we had talked
about the
prospect of it going there. And so the Fifth Circuit, thankfully, did not affirm yet all of the lower court ruling that the judge had put in place, but the Fifth Circuit did affirm several key pieces of the safety precautions that were essentially cast away by the FDA and the Biden administration over a course of time.
Which is what the case is really all about, right?
It really is. Yeah, it's about, I mean, of course, we've been continuing to remind folks that every single time the chemical abortion pill is successfully used, an unborn child loses its life.
Yes.
In addition to the fact of some of the very serious safety concerns as it relates to the mothers that are taking the pill. But in a nutshell, the Fifth Circuit upheld a few things. One, that abortionists are not can't send the chemical abortion pills through the mail, which the FDA had started allowing in 2021, and which was one of the reasons why we had passed a state law here in Kentucky last session, the session before last, to help deal with that issue. Returned the requirement that the chemical abortion pill could only be used in the first 7 weeks of pregnancy as opposed to 10. And this is really important because, again, this pill, deadly as it is for the unborn child, is extremely dangerous for the pregnant mother if she takes it too late, essentially.
And I think we shared four times more the complications with her than with the surgical. Neither one of them are good.
Right.
But they're passing out pills that are even more dangerous.
Right. And then also importantly, dealing with a requirement for an in-person doctor visit to get prescribed.
Yes.
And so, and that to
just
me
makes
is just
sense, doesn't it?
It does, and it's fascinating to me because sometimes you'll see the left and the media try to come after, you know, Christians and conservatives saying, oh, you're trying to get in the way of me and my doctor or my personal healthcare decision in the context of the abortion context, which we know abortion's not healthcare.
Right.
But in this case, literally it was the FDA and the Biden administration that removed the requirement that a pregnant woman actually have a face-to-face with her doctor so that some of these important things about how far along the baby is could all be essentially confirmed.
Yeah.
And
do you know of anything, I can't think off the bat, of any other drug or doctor's appointment and procedure that they've done that with?
Right.
Very few
that
of this magnitude of danger and risk.
So, and the further update, Greg, is as we sit here right now, what happened at the very end of last week was the Supreme Court now, the Biden administration has appealed to the Supreme Court. And so the Supreme Court is giving a little bit more time, has essentially put a stay on some of the lower court rulings to give time for arguments to be made. And so we'll have to see what the Supreme Court says, I'm hopeful and optimistic that the Supreme Court will ultimately affirm the Fifth Circuit and hopefully the full decision of the lower court federal judge in Texas. And, you know, one of the other things, Greg, you and I were talking about in preparation is just this is another one of these moments where we're having the opportunity to kind of roll the tape back and remember some important truths in terms of our culture and law as it relates to abortion.
Yeah.
A lot of folks don't realize, but going all the way back into the 1890s, I believe, there was a federal law known as the Comstock Act that actually provided protection and said there are certain things you can't send through the mail.
Forbid.
You know, pornography-related stuff, And one of those other items was abortifacients. So this,
which Mifepristone clearly is.
Oh, absolutely.
So they had just disregarded that.
They had just disregarded that. Yeah. And this is where I come back to, you know, continuing to thank the Lord for the Supreme Court decision and Dobbs to overturn Roe. But a lot of this debate and kind of what we're walking through in a post-Roe environment is us having to remind ourselves, you know, Greg, as we know, as believers, as Christians, we know the Word of God has been and will always be clear on the issue of life and the value and dignity of each unborn child.
Yes.
But from a law and cultural standpoint, too, it has always been the case. Our common law, you know, laws here in Kentucky, other states prior to Roe, were always affirming of pro-life positions and protecting unborn life.
Right.
And so a lot of times the media and others that are kind of flipping out over some of these arguments that are now being made, saying, how could you go back and look at a law that's been on the book that long? Right. Well, the reality is, it's been on the books and it's never come off the books because there's important principles in that law that have always been supported.
Yeah.
And we have just kind of forgotten that because we lived in this dark period with this so-called constitutional right to kill an unborn child hanging over our culture.
Yeah. Well, and David, as you said, we were talking about this. One of the things that I mentioned to you, and I would love for our listeners to hear, folks, if we can't start in the church and with Christ followers, understanding the basic principles from Scripture of life, which is the dark ages you were talking about, we have been deceived and confused by education, by media, by legislation, not in just this area, but this is one of the main ones. And so many people in the media or in government come at it from a standpoint of the wrong standpoint that has been so deceptively peddled.
Yeah.
And so we've got to overcome that. Let me have a moment here. So if you want to go back and listen to others, go back to, again, KentuckyFamily.org or LoveInLordship.com. You can also hear today's and the previous 2 days' messages of the Authority of Love at WJMM.com. WJMM.com. There's a podcast tab. Click on that, then the Love and Lordship links. Now, that'll get you a couple of other messages that are going on in the series that I'm doing, a biblical series that I'm doing. But David, we always want to come back to not just science, but common sense. And I made the comment off air. If your science and your common sense do not agree with the Bible, you ought to throw those out.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get at least Christians to understand. Don't fall for these lies.
Right.
So, how do you think?
Thankfully, they all line up in this context.
Yes, they do. They do, and that's great. That's why we're talking about this. The other part is this: we already know what previous heavy pro-abortion administrations have done. The Biden administration is going to tackle this and come into the Supreme Court saying, not only do we need to go back to allowing it to be mailed and everything else, but they're going to go back to 10 weeks or 20 weeks or whatever. Probably. I'm guessing. I'm speculating. Talk a little bit about that, how you think they might do it based upon what we've seen.
Well, I mean, that's been, you know, truly one of the sad things to see in this current administration. And, you know, not to get too directly political, Greg, but I mean, the reality is, you know, President Biden had a history. He's served in office for a very, very, very long time.
Half a century.
And, you know, he certainly was not not pro-life, but he was somewhat in the middle on the Democrat side in terms of his views on abortion, supported some positions like the Hyde Amendment, you know, to protect against taxpayer funding and everything. But since he has run for president, since he's become president, you really see how in the modern age, the power that the pro-abortion lobby particularly has over the modern Democratic Party. You cannot be a national, or I would even argue state-level Democrat without kowtowing to all the demands of the pro-abortion lobby.
Right.
And one of the other big takeaways that we have seen post-Roe going down is their extremism is
ramped up. Yes.
And you're seeing some even make arguments that Roe never went far enough.
Yeah. That was my point with this question.
And so
I think
that the question that needs to be asked is, at what stage of life do you even have any desire to protect a human life?
Yes.
I mean, so anyways,
euthanasia, that's been a topic
just
before.
Some of the legislation that's being passed in some of these pro-abortion states now, it's very concerning, and it's certainly concerning to have a administration that is so radically promoting abortion.
That was my point, and we need our listeners, as Christ followers especially, or if you're contemplating that, you need to understand what the Bible says about life. We've got a few minutes here, David, so I know we want to switch gears a little bit. We have our own Kentucky and UK's own Riley Gaines has taken a strong stand for truth and good values on the transgender issue.
Yeah.
And some people may know that story. It's not brand news, but it's talk a little bit about that issue and what's going on.
Well, and you know, Greg, you and I talked this a little bit, but what has happened is, you know, there are now 20 states, including Kentucky, that has passed common sense laws to say that we're going to protect female athletics, female sports, K through 12, and college is what we passed here, and say that we're, you know, boys compete on boys teams, and we're not going to allow biological boys who quote-unquote identify as girls to take spots and trophies and opportunity away from female athletics. And you have seen Riley Gaines, who, you know, had a very powerful situation happen to her when she was forced to compete against Leah Thomas at the NCAA championships last year. And she has shared her experience and what she went through, the unfairness of it. She has become one of the leading outspoken advocates to save female sports. Got to interact with her when the bill was passed back session before last, but it's just, I'm so thankful for her voice. But some, you know, she's been in the news recently, Greg, because she was speaking at San Francisco State University and literally attacked.
Yeah. Was invited to speak, was attacked
by transgender advocates that essentially tried to hold her hostage, is my understanding of her testimony. And so, you know, we experienced a little bit of this craziness on this issue, even at the Kentucky Capitol that you and I talked about in one of our previous episodes, and it just continues to break my heart to see the deception and the way in which some folks are engaging in the process, all about promoting an idea of something that you know is not true, that identifying, becoming the opposite sex based on the way someone thinks or feels, or surgeries or other interventions. And so this is going to continue to be an important issue that we're going to be following and addressing as we seek to encourage folks to understand the biblical context and why it's so important to engage for truth on such an important issue.
Yeah, and I would just say this, and I think you would echo it, David, that Riley, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to Riley for taking a courageous but gracious stance, because everything I read and saw was that she was very gracious, and those who claimed to be tolerant and loving did not act that way.
Yeah.
And that's something we need to reinforce, that people, and not only for Riley, but for others who would take a stand, we need to do it in a gracious way. Absolutely. On all of these issues. The truth does not need to be shouted down. The truth just needs to be spoken.
Yeah.
It can take care of itself. And that's what we stand for here on the Authority of Love and Love and Lordship and with the Family Foundation. So thank you again for joining us. Thanks for your contact and for getting in touch with us at Family Foundation and Love and Lordship. We appreciate that. And share this with others. We have a podcast David puts out that we send out as well. So you can view, listen. Go back to either one of our websites and you can find other articles and things as well. Thank you for joining us. Thanks always for your prayers. Thanks to the Lord always. Have a great day and God bless in Christ. Stay tuned for Bill Reeser and Encounter coming right up. And at 12:45, my good friend Greg Horn and Hope is here. I'm Greg Williams and you're listening to the Authority of Love.